We're rolling. I think we're already rolling.
Oh, we're already rolling. Yeah. Thomas
is to have my drinks on the table?
Making his drink.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. It's anarchy down here.
I love it.
Yeah.
This is the best place for anarchy.
Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
We were scared to come down here for years.
I was just going to say, is this making you nervous?
No, I love it. I'm like, I've never been in the basement of the Comedy Store. I've been a regular since 97. This is my first time being in the basement. I mean, I've always stuck my head down and tried to listen.
Because we had the gate where you could look down. Yeah.
And there was never any reason to be down here.
Nah.
I came down here a couple times as an employee, and there was just so much shit everywhere.
Dust and shit.
Yeah. And every once in a while, they try to get us to clean it, and I'd be like,
no,
you guys have help for that.
What?
Yeah, they would, something would break, and they'd be like, hey, you and Hatchell or whoever, take that down to the basement. We'd take it down, and they'd be like, put it over there, and be like, so I have to climb over that pile of shit to go put a broken neon sign in the corner.
The stuff you do.
We do. We had a meeting. We used to have meetings back there in that back room. And that was when they had all the T-shirts. Everything was down here.
Oh, right.
So we would have meetings back there. I can't remember the manager's name, but he was trying to be different. And I was like, buddy, you're going to be different somewhere else real quick.
So whose idea was it to start the podcast out here?
Good question.
We had a... They were doing it up in the old accounting room.
On the third floor.
We did that for a while. And then I think Eric was like, we should just build a podcast studio. And there was so much unnecessarily. I mean, it was just crap. So they just moved all the crap into the back rooms. And
yeah. The good stuff they salvaged. I mean, because there is a lot of old Ciro stuff down here. Right. Like, I can remember the dishes and all that shit that was down here. And I was like, oh, I might be stealing some of this.
So all the cereal stuff that Jeff doesn't take, who gets it?
I have some. Okay. I mean, I think I just have I might just have a dish. I forget. Something. Mitzi used to give it to us all the time. If it wasn't that, she was giving us her old jewelry. So everything worked out.
So when Mitzi bought this place, it came with all the dishes? And
it just, I mean, they just didn't take it. They just
right. Said, fuck it.
It had been down here because it had been owned a few times after that.
Oh, okay. So it didn't go Ciro's too.
Yeah. So because she bought it from Art LeBeau.
I was going to say that.
Couldn't remember his name. You remember that name?
Yeah, he's still on like Sunday night.
Yeah, he was a DJ.
He still is a DJ.
Yeah, he owned the building. Wow. And then because they used to have a nightclub in the main room.
Right.
Like, obviously, it changed from Ciro's to all that shit. And then he sold her the original room, or she would rent the original room, whatever. And then she finally was able to buy him fully out from how well the original room was doing.
Okay, so what did he do his radio show? I thought he did it in the original room.
In the main room.
The main room?
I believe it was the main room. Yeah, all that stuff happened in the main room.
So it was like a live show? You'd be spinning records and people be dancing?
I think so.
And shit.
Yeah, it was like a nightclub. So pretty
live
cool.
Bands? What was he doing?
I don't know if he had live bands.
This is what, the 60s?
I think
early 70s?
Like 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, because she didn't buy the main room until 78.
Oh,
76, 76, something like that. So I know we're 72, the original room, and then it was a little bit after that.
Huh.
I'm terrible with that. Anyway, we are here.
We're live. World famous comedy store.
We're live on Facebook Live.
We're recording.
Thomas's Facebook.
I'm not getting like really good reception down here.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's the rare. Ghost, honey. And they let you get what you can get.
The haunting will remove
it. Hey, Gus, it's me, man.
Hey, Gus. Hey, Gus.
Damn, he knew it was Gus.
Yes, that's why I love Thomas.
We met before. I saw Gus before.
Hold on. First of all, this is Thomas Ward.
Yeah.
A regular here.
97.
One of our favorites.
May 5th.
And now, you know the date?
I don't know the date. I remember
I went
up behind Joe Rogan my first two nights here.
Damn.
Wow.
Yep. I had to go up behind Rogan, and I was like, does she want me to be dirty? I remember one day she saw me in the main room.
She put you in the main room.
Well, this may be about after I was a regular for maybe a couple months.
Okay, got it.
You know, finally made me regular. And Corey was the...
Corey Como.
Corey
Como Soto. Como,
right, and she says, Mitzi says you were dirty. And I saw Mitzi, I'm like, Mitzi. She's like, you're dirty. I said, you put me behind Rogan every night.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I supposed to do? Be clean? I go up behind Rogan? You telling me to be dirty?
Follow Rogan.
Yeah, I got to follow Rogan.
Go Argus Hamilton on the crowd. Yeah, put Rogan him to sleep.
And that was when he was doing that Lions fucking bit.
Yeah, the Lions fucked it. It was a murder.
Yeah.
He'd be standing there sweating like, I just got made a pay regular. I got to go up behind this shit. She's trying to kill me right now.
Throw the challenge out there immediately.
I slept outside for this shit.
I slept
in a Comedy Store van for 2 days for this shit.
Is that how you met Gus? Sleeping
yeah,
in the...
True story. It was a Saturday night.
Okay.
And, I always hang around, get a fallout. So I, get a fallout and I wait for everybody to leave because I was homeless, literally. I didn't have a place to stay. And I'd already said, look, if I don't get this showcase tomorrow, I'm going back to Detroit. I'm done.
Yeah.
Hollywood, you won.
Yeah.
I mean, and this was after I did Def Comedy Jam. And I had, like, one of the highest rated one that... of that season, but it was weird because it came out right after Cosby's son got killed.
So it was like what is really... that noise? Who's talking?
Yeah, there's another podcast going in the background, it sounds like.
I don't know what he did. Well, my phone is... No, my phone it is... sounds like Rick. I don't know.
So, Gus, what happened is Gus is possessing me.
He says we got to put a timeout because that's what's happening. You brought up Gus.
Yeah, but I've
got
Gus.
Almost
now, let
got
me
up
tell
to
the
shut
story.
The door, and I was like, wait, it sounds like Rick.
It did sound like me.
Gus, let me finish telling the story. Gus, it's a good story.
Gus, calm
it's
down.
It's a good story, Gus. Let me finish.
Yeah, you got to tell the story about the ghost if we can get through it.
So, okay, I'm homeless. I'm sleeping in the store van.
Comedy store van. Were you working here?
I was working here for a second, and then what was the guy? Who was the guy that used to work upstairs? He was the accountant. He was a general manager. He was a big guy.
Bob Wheeler.
No, not Bob Wheeler. It was another guy.
Oh yeah, Bob was never a manager.
He was a general manager. Had the beard, Jewish guy with the glasses.
There's so many.
I think he had like two hip replacement surgeries or something.
Oh, Mike Becker.
Mike Becker.
Yes.
So I was working as a doorman, and one night I get a call after I seat everybody. I get a call. It was a beat when everybody had pagers.
Yeah.
I got a page. So, my girl at the time, she was pregnant, and, my only son, my first kid. And so I call her back. Mike sees me in the bathroom, and in the next couple of days, I know I'm fired. I'm like, Missy, what happened? She was like, oh. No, wait a minute. She didn't know I was fired first. She asked me, where have you been? And I was like, I got fired. And she's like, by who? I said, Mike Becker. And she goes, for what? I said, I don't know. So she said, I didn't tell him to fire you. You had fucking putts. she called him a putt. So anyway, it turns
sounds
out.
About right.
Yeah, that's what she said. Verbatim. Yeah. She said, I didn't tell him to fire you. No, I said, you told him to fire me. I didn't tell him to fire you. That fucking putts. So, So a couple of days later, I was like, well, whatever. She said, well, don't worry. You got a showcase in a couple of days. So I was like, oh, maybe it means I'm going to pass. So I do the showcase. Let me tell the story. So that night, it was a Saturday night. I wait till everyone leaves. Everyone leaves the grounds. I think I went and hung out somewhere on Sunset. And I go back. Nobody's around. I'm sleeping in a van. It's a, it's a fucking steel van floor. And it's got like a cover in it, this really thin cover.
Thin.
So it's like, do I put it under my head or do I try to cover up to give myself some semblance of comfort?
Right.
If that's possible on a steel fucking van floor. So I was tired of shit. Anyway, I must have maybe dozed off for maybe about an hour or two. And then the next thing I know, it's daybreak. And this was the scary part. I hear on the side of the van. I'm sorry. Oops, sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
And I kind of sit up. I'm like, whoa. And I kind of peek out of the window, and I swear I see a guy. I see the back of his neck. His hair was slicked back. He has on a black leather jacket, and he's walking, and he turns the corner. He turns that corner, where the van is parked.
Yeah.
Where it's gated off now.
Yeah.
Right, that little corner right there. And I looked, and he turns his corner. Now, mine is like maybe 6 something in the morning.
Yeah.
And I sit there for a minute like, oh, shit. If somebody's out there, let me give him a couple seconds.
Yeah.
So I start counting. I count to like maybe 10. And I jump out of the van and I run into the parking lot. I don't see anybody. I run down to the end of the driveway thinking, okay, if somebody was just here,
I
should be
able
to see him on the streets. I've never, ever in my life seen Sunset this fucking empty.
Oh, man.
It was, there were no, this was like some shit out of a movie. It was just
nothing.
Like, it was nothing.
Post-apocalyptic. It was everyone like post-apocalyptic.
Everyone was dead. I didn't see any action at the fucking, the Hyatt, when it was still the Hyatt, that I saw somebody fall off the fucking.
Oh, my God.
I was there at night. Me, yours, and Pierre. So then I'm like, I just sit there and I'm so spooked. So I say, if somebody's here, they're back there. So I'm
like, they're in their lot. Fuck.
So I'm like, I kind of look around. I look behind the garbage can. Nothing. So the only thing I remember, it was a tall white guy. I could see the back of his neck. His hair was slicked back with either black leather or black jacket. I thought it was Matt Bon Jovi. Remember?
Oh yeah, yeah. Matt was our manager.
So I thought it was him. So I knocked on the door.
This is John Bon Jovi's brother.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. He's the general manager. So I'm like, I'm knocking on the door. I'm like, Matt, you in there? Matt. Nobody's here. I'm banging on the door. I'm like, oh, shit. So I leave. I think I went to like a buddy's house and, you know, knocked on the door. He lets me crash. I come back that night. It's my showcase.
Oh, shit.
It was a massive bomb. I get nothing. And I was so tired. I just thought to myself, oh, well, I guess I'll call my mother and tell her to send me that ticket now.
Yeah.
I walk past Missy. She goes, you know the routine. Call Scott for spots. You're paid regular now.
Oh my God, Scott
like,
Day. Yeah,
Scott Day. And I was just Scott like, Day. I was like, yo, I was like, really?
What?
I was like, it just recharged me. I was like, phew. I mean, seriously, I was walking out of this club. That was gonna be my last memory.
Yeah, you're like, let me use the payphone. Yeah. I'm gonna call my mom. Mother. Collect.
You go ahead and send that ticket. Yeah,
she's like, I talked to Gus. Yeah. He said sorry for fucking with you this morning.
Yeah.
What?
She always talked to Gus. She would say, like, we'd be sitting in her office. I'd be on the floor doing paperwork, and he would turn they love the music, so he would turn the music on and off. Mm-hmm. And I would just be sitting there thinking, like, it's a bad tape or something.
Wiring's bad. Yeah. Building's old as fuck.
Right. And she would go, stop it. And I'm like, who the fuck are you talking to? And then she'd go, Gus, knock it off. Like, oh, my God. And then I go, who's Gus? And she was like, Gus. Because in my head, I'm like, that's the name of the ghost. And then she told me, she goes, yeah, they fuck with my music. And Carl LeBeau told us that too, how if you played the music, that's how he would talk to them through music.
Wow. Because you know, the Matt did the reading. Remember he did that? Because I didn't know who the hell Gus was.
Who did the reading?
Matt did, had some people
Bon
come
Jovi?
Through. Yeah, he had the people come through.
Was that when
that
we
reading.
Used to have all these weird people come through for ghost hunters
right,
and shit?
Right.
Well, it wasn't called ghost hunters,
right,
but
that's how I knew the guy's name. Matt told me his name. Matt was like, he told me the whole thing. This guy's name is Gus, and he was a bouncer, and something happened on the stage. And
they probably killed him upstairs.
With somebody, something. And so,
fuck.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, because that's during Ciro's when they used to bring him up to the third floor and everything's...
Right. Tame down the dumbwaiter in the back.
Dumbwaiter, like, see that guy right there? That's who we're going to whack tonight.
Yeah, you would see through the...
Well, yeah, when they closed up the assassin's window,
that's so
I just
mean.
Remember being
I
like,
love the assassin's
gonna fuck
window.
You're going to fuck with the ghost
I
like
it.
That?
I love the assassin.
He's going to walk over and be like, I can't even watch the fucking show anymore? Someone's dying in the belly room tonight.
Oh, and so many
every
do.
Night.
I didn't know there was one. Isn't there one behind the DJ's booth?
In the belly room.
In the belly room, right.
Yeah, and then there's one in the green room
exactly.
That kind of, So the one behind the belly room, in the one behind the, where the, there used to be a bar there. When I first started, it was a bar. Mm. And you would ring your drinks in on that cash register, whatever. So you
and
could
that's
look.
where the sound stuff is now?
Yeah, okay. All the sound stuff. So there's a little window there. That you
I
look
see.
Down into the main room, and then the other one is in the green room. And
right.
I think the green one room is the one they covered up, not the one
did.
In the belly room.
I didn't even know the one,
the one in the green room.
In the belly room itself existed.
Mm. Oh, wow.
But,
Ricky, look at us teaching you.
Yeah, that's how I'm like, wait, there's crossfire?
Yeah.
There's potential for crossfire?
Yep.
Yeah, I just remember we'd go get high in the green room and the belly room, and sometimes it was the dark years, but... There would be a main room show.
I saw a curtain.
And sometimes you could still hear the comics. I remember some of us smoking one time and it was like, it's almost like listening to comedy on the radio. Like if you can't see them, you're like, it almost feels like it's more professional because you can't hear that there's 26 people in the main room.
Oh my God.
Not having a good time.
Not having a good time. Wait, okay, so let's go. When you started comedy in Detroit?
92. Moved out here at the end of 93. couldn't really get on stage at the black clubs, you know.
And like the comedy act comedy and all act. That.
They let me up every once in a while. They just play so many games. It's just like, oh, I did sure. Well. I did well last week, you know, and started doing well, started putting you up, and then someone doesn't like because you sneeze too loud.
Or anything. But I feel like every
they didn't
club.
Like your shirt or something. It's just like, what the fuck? So,
where was that club?
This was
it's a comedy act?
Yeah.
It's actually a like a lounge, but called the Regency West in South Central. Okay. But it's where the legend, I don't know if you've heard of Robin Harris.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right, so it's where he started, and he really, you know, got things going. Actually, he was here because I spoke with Marsha Warfield because, you know, she's
in Yeah,
she's
I've been
Vegas.
Hitting her up. Yeah,
right,
I love
so
Marsha.
So she gave me the whole rundown about how everyone was here.
Yeah.
Everyone was here at the store. And Robin was like, hey, you know, I'm not getting a lot of stage time. I'm going to go back down to the hood, mm-hmm. start this thing with this guy from Atlanta, Michael Williams. And that's how the Comedy Act became about, because it also was in Atlanta at first.
Oh, okay.
They were like the first black comedy club, you know, nationwide comedy club with national headliners.
Wow.
So, yeah. And
I used to go on dates there with my first ex-fiance.
Oh, Bill?
Bill. Yeah, Bill Branca.
I remember Branca, you and Bill used to come down here.
See?
So I, you know, hanging out. It was so ironic. Stories always come from me being homeless. All my first
I like
things.
This,
I was gonna say. I think all good comedian stories involve homelessness at first.
So I'm staying with a comedian.
That's how you know you got passion for it.
Exactly, because you would. I would never go through the shit I went through in my 20s. Now I'm just like, hey, I'm gonna go sell real estate.
I'll figure it out. My back hurts too much to sleep in a Buick.
Oh my goodness! But I had this huge Delta 98.
Oh,
it was like
nice.
No, it was an Oldsmobile Custom. It was huge. I mean, I could sleep in the back seat and stretch my feet out.
My first car was an Oldsmobile Delta 88 Grand Royale. That thing was bigger than my room.
What year was it?
It was a 1988 Delta 88.
My uncle had one of those when I was in high school. That was a beautiful car.
Yeah.
But I had a 74 Custom.
When back seats were fun.
It was huge. With the
Not if you're a loser like me.
Free me too.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. I was sleeping in the car. And one day, I wreck it. So I start living with Shang, and Shang lives right around here on Harper.
I love Shang, yeah.
He lives right around on Harper and Santa Monica. This was in 90-something. 97.
97-ish.
Right, so,
okay. So you're out here from 92 to 97?
No, I'm out here from like 93, and I'm kind of going back and forth.
Got it.
Between here and Detroit, you know, those times where, I got to go back, but I'm going to come back.
Yeah.
So I get back. I'm living, you know, I had an apartment, and I get kicked out. I'm living in my car. So I crashed the car. So Shane was like, hey, man, you can come and stay at my place. Well, I didn't know anything about Hollywood. I would come here to do Fat Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, kind of popular at Fat Tuesday. And so, you know, I was like, oh, the Comedy Store. I hated the OR because it was so easy. I'm like, as soon as I
That's
I mean,
amazing.
I was like, this room is so easy. I mean, I would destroy every time. I mean, it was just like.
I believe that.
It was just like, it's like, so easy. So I started just hanging out up here. It'd be Sunday night. I'm like, I don't have a car. Shane would be on the road. So I'd say, I'm just going to go up and just hang out at the store. And I would see Freddie Soto.
Yeah.
And Freddie would be like, hey, man, I see you at Fat Tuesday, man. You're so funny. You should audition. Do you want to be a pay regular? I'm like, hell no, man. Comedy Store racist as hell. I don't want to be at this racist ass motherfucker. This racist ass place.
Freddie's
fuck
like,
this shit.
I'm Mexican. I'm like,
that ain't black. You halfway there. You almost there. But Freddie stayed on me, man. I love that guy, man. Shout
he
out
was
to
like
Freddie
that.
Soto.
Yeah,
I love Freddie, man. I miss him, man. And he was just like, he just was like, he would see me. He'd be like, he begged me to showcase for Mitzi. And one day I just said, okay, fuck it.
Yeah.
And I did it. And I was like, but she's seen me before. She said I was funny, but she didn't want to make me a paid regular. She said I needed to grow. I needed to work.
Well, she wanted to watch it.
Right.
Yeah.
So he brought me to her, and she showcased me, and I had a great set. And she's grabbing me. She's like, oh, you're wonderful. I'm going to make you a paid regular. And so Holtzman was standing right there. He was like, you're a paid regular now. You're a paid regular.
Hey.
Come on, let's have a drink. Come on, let's drink. And I said, I think she says she's going to make me a paid regular. I don't know if she did it right
Don't
there.
Celebrate too early.
Right, exactly. So Freddie comes back and says, look, she's not making you a paid regular now, but she says she wants to, but she wants to know if you like to work here first. She said, because she says all the
That's
great
ones. That's how she does it, yeah.
Work at the door. So I was like, oh, fuck it. I don't have a job. I'm here.
Yeah, I'm going to be here anyway. Yeah.
Shang's on the road. Yeah, let's Shang's just, on the road. Yeah. My car's dead. In.
Yeah, exactly. My car's fucked up. It's dead. Car was dead. No more
not
car.
Dented.
I was walking up here.
And you can't live without a car in LA.
Not LA.
It's
hell no.
Fuck.
Especially but back then, they didn't have
fucking.
It's
just the way things just
no
fell.
Lift. Yeah.
You know, I would have never came to the Comedy Store had I not gotten a car accident.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Seriously.
But where did you do Def Jam? On the East Coast?
No, I did it here. I did it in L.A. I auditioned for it here in the Comedy Store.
In the Fat Tuesday.
In the main room. Yeah. Fat Tuesday. Actually, he saw me somewhere. Bob Sumner, he saw me somewhere. The Oakland Bay Area Comedy Competition.
Oh,
but
okay.
But they had to see me upstairs. And he saw, and then he had me to come to the Oakland Bay Area Comedy Competition like in 96 or something.
Okay.
And he said, hey, I'm going to put you on Def Jam. And I still had an audition. Stan Lathan had to see me. And I got it.
It's amazing.
And I was like, what? And I still wasn't a paid regular here yet.
No.
Yeah, I still wasn't a paid. Yeah, yeah, I wasn't
there
paid.
There were so many greats
right.
on Def Jam right. that didn't come through here
right,
until
right,
after.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I got on Def Jam and then I was made a paid. But to me, being made a paid here was bigger than when I did Def Jam.
A lot of people say that.
It was.
I love that.
It was more prestigious. I mean, Def Jam is great. You know,
sure.
I was a part of something special.
Sure.
You know, so, yeah, HBO.
That was a good time to
this,
be a part of it, too.
This place, you know, I think they should have never moved it from New York. New York, it was something different in New York when they take
well, Def Jam.
Def Jam. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Jam.
That's why I thought right. you did it over there.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I did it here. And it was okay. It was fun. It was kind of weird because it was
who was
right,
the host? Was it
Cedric the Entertainer?
Cedric,
he was the host of my
okay.
show. And I think I was on the premiere show for that evening because we had Craig Robertson,
mm-hmm.
Alex Thomas.
Wow. Yeah.
Myself and two other people that, you know, didn't make the cut. So, I mean, just for me to make the cut
that's
on that show
deal.
Was a real
yeah.
big deal. But I didn't really get a lot from that because they made me look like I was just a Bill Cosby impersonator. You
well,
know,
I was just going to say,
do the
did
whole
they
Cosby
only
thing.
Show that?
They just showed that. And then for years, people would come up to me that would go to one of the producers' house. Her name is Tina Graham,
mm-hmm.
where she would show like all the uncut, everybody's uncut versions.
Right.
And people come up and be like, oh my God, man, you're funny as hell. I saw your whole uncut version of Def Jam. I'm like, well, I've never seen it. I mean, I was there. I know what happened, and it wasn't what they showed on TV. So it just was weird. It just made me look like I was a Bill Cosby impersonator. So, you know, it's just like, you know, it's just one of those things. You know?
Yeah. Because there is so much more to you. That's not the
right,
only
right.
thing
so,
you do.
Yeah.
But it is one of the first things I remember
right.
seeing. And yeah. I believe it was in the belly room.
Right.
And
upstairs.
You used to put the...
I put a beard on.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to... I couldn't do
favorite.
A Cosby impersonation. People think, you know, you look like Bill Cosby when I was younger, I did. You just wake up and do it. No, I had to work at that shit.
Yeah.
It's like the whole point they miss is that I can act. It's like
exactly.
This, you know, it's like I had to really work on that shit and get the timing.
But you picked such a specific
right, exactly,
thing to do
right,
of
because,
him.
But I couldn't do a Cosby impersonation before that. I couldn't even do a Cosby impersonation before that. So I had to watch this one scene from this movie over and over. I was working construction.
What was the name of the movie?
Uptown Saturday Night.
Yes.
And he goes into the bar.
No.
This is one of the classic movie scenes where he's just in Philly.
Yeah.
And he goes into the bar and they're looking for this gangster named Little Seymour.
Okay.
And he's got this huge bodyguard named Big Percy. And Cosby goes in there. You know, he's talking shit. He sees a guy. He's like, you know, say, man, you seen Big Percy around here? You know, who wants to know? I'm asking the question, sissy. I'm like, and then Cosby kicks his ass. It's like, oh shit, Cosby kicking ass.
Damn. He had like
it's
the
like
big,
he had the fro. Yeah,
yeah.
Like this big, so I was younger. If you see
it was
my picture 70s, in the hallway,
60s maybe.
You know, I got a fro and I'm throwing this beard and actually I got that from I lost a contest to like my best friend growing up. We were in a contest in Detroit and I had told him, dude, if I do this Bill Cosby impersonation, I can destroy you. So he bought me the beard. When I showed it to him,
oh.
he bought the beard. And literally, I came back out of here, and I started doing it at Fat Tuesday. And from there, I got on Def Comedy Jam and, mm-hmm. you know, on and on.
What was the show upstairs? Dante's? Was that Dante's you used to do on Tuesday
no,
night?
No, that was Guy Torrey.
No, in the belly room.
Guy Tori.
Yeah.
Oh, still was Fat Tuesday.
Well, it started out Fat Tuesday, Guy Tori.
Okay, because Dante had another night, too, before Guy.
Okay.
I'm saying. So that I was just Dante thinking. Show. Okay, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because him and Ricca used to have a lot of, like, that's how I met Freeze Love and all those guys.
I talked to Freeze a couple days ago.
Yeah, he's the best. He did the podcast.
Freeze is great.
But yeah, Fat Tuesday started in the belly room.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it was too overcapacity.
Yeah, so they had to move it downstairs. And then you had Death Row Records up there.
Always.
Tupac and Suge Knight and Tupac. And everybody going crazy. It was wild. It was wild. But Pac liked me, so it was cool. I remember one night I did a spot, and the crowd was going all wild. And he said, "Hey, man, chill out. I like this guy. Everybody shut up." I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, thank God.
Thanks, Pac.
It's the only way to get them to listen is somebody stands up for you. I remember a waitress flipped out. She freaked out. She threw her tray down. She quit. She dropped a couple N-bombs and left. I remember Guy was pissed, and I was like, "I'm so sorry, Guy. She lost her mind right now." And Lauren Peltz went upstairs. Yeah. She gets on stage, and she's like, "Look, I'm your only fucking hope. You get no Hennessy if you don't talk to me." And I was like, it's a little racist. All right.
I love Lauren Peltz.
But we had to just get in there and fight, man.
You, Lauren, and who was the other really pretty one?
Jen Freeman. Yeah,
Jen. You three were the best.
We were the big three.
Y'all held it down, the big three. For real. Y'all roll up in the spot. The black people's like, okay, they cool. They cool right there. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Okay.
I remember that guy was like, "Hey, Susie Chapstick." I go, "Who the fuck are you talking to?" He goes, "Oh, shit. I'm so sorry.
Oh, this ain't no punk ass white lady right here.
My fault.
This ain't no punk ass white lady. I better be cool." She's in Philly.
He didn't know. He didn't know who he was dealing with.
She no flying elbows, motherfucker. You don't understand.
Well, we used to have some fun up there, but when it was like packed to capacity, it was fucking hard to get around.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
So now you were in an improv troupe too that I remember.
The other
that
level.
Was phenomenal. Yeah.
The other level, me, myself, Spanky Hayes.
Spanky, oh yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to Spanky? She's still doing comedy?
Yeah, I think he's back east in New York.
Oh, okay.
Every once in a while, Spanky will roll up in a van. 30 right. people get 30 out. People. I'm like, what's happening right now?
I just got through making a drop somewhere. Yeah, some weed.
So the nicest. But yeah, who was the other kid that was great?
Joe Blunt.
Yeah, that's right.
And Howie Bell. And you know, we just released a film. It's on Amazon, Walmart, BestBuy.com. It's called Once Upon a Time in Detroit.
Okay.
I co-directed. I'm the cinematographer.
That's amazing.
I had a small part in it. We pulled it off for about 35, 40 grand. And people really like it. It's a drama.
Okay.
But we got a lot of comedians in it. It really shows a comedian. Comedians
Wait,
really
that was
act.
The one were you filming it in Vegas? Or no? Okay, because there was one you were like, "Hey, are you going to be in Vegas on these dates?" And I'm like, "Damn, I'm not going to be able to work with."
I think it was like a short or something.
Yeah, oh, that was just a short. Like, yeah, because he's always working. That's what I love about you. You're always coming up with new shit, man.
Got to keep it pushing.
Got to keep doing it.
So yeah, so we had this sketch comedy troupe, and from that, Spanky ended up on Wildin' Out.
Right.
And,
I remember when he got that.
Right. And then the rest of us, we just kind of floated around. We did some pilots and shit. I got married, started playing house. Damn, it ruined my life.
That'll do it.
I'm familiar with that plan.
I didn't mean to look at you when I said that'll do it, Rick.
Yeah,
but,
that's all right.
He's right there right now.
Stuck
in there, Rick. You got a beautiful kid, so hang in there, dude.
Thanks, man.
So, after that, I started doing porn.
Okay.
Yeah.
But non-sex parts.
I was curious about that.
Non-sex parts.
I remember when someone was like, "Hey, do you know T. Ward is playing Bill Cosby in porn now?" And I was like, "I'm sorry." They're like, "Yeah."
What channel?
Yeah. And at the time, Bill Cosby still wasn't known as a sexual predator, so it was
still
it was just
good.
One of those things. Where I'm like,
cool, right?
can you do Bill Cosby doing porn?
Yeah.
And then someone's like, I guess he won an award. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's what they said.
AVN. I have an AVN award.
They're like, hey,
I have an AVN award.
Who was hosting when you won it? Attell?
Oh my goodness.
Or Tripoli?
The fucking host? No, I think it was the guitar guy.
Oh, because
what's his name? Dave Navarro.
Oh,
I think
great.
Dave Navarro was the host that night. Yeah.
The guitar guy?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that Dave Navarro. all right, so how does this happen? How do you get a job in porn?
This is really weird. Okay. Not to be braggadocious, but I was having sex with this girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was fucking this porn chick.
Okay.
So, and she was cool with this company, you know, all the companies. So I guess some type of way a conversation about Bill Cosby came up. So she tells this company, hey, you know, I know this guy. He does comedy, and he does a great Cosby impersonation. So they, you know, they call me up. No, Jason calls me.
Jason Washington.
Jason Washington
he
calls
did the
me.
Podcast, right, so they know okay. who he is.
Yeah. So yeah. Jason Washington calls me, and I guess they get his, or they get my number from Jason or
okay.
something like that. He calls me and says, hey, man, these guys want you to do this porn. I'm like, okay, no. No.
I am a comic.
I'm like, I still have a chance at this shit.
Yeah.
So, but wait a minute. The ironic part is I did a thing called the Bill Cosby sex tape for HBO the last year Def Jams they did.
Okay.
And they didn't show it until this whole Cosby shit really blew up after Hannibal
right. Oh, yeah.
But let me go back to that. So let me go back to the porn thing. So I go to the guy's office. They got the only porn company this side of the valley. This side of the 101 freeway.
Oh, okay.
They're right on Hollywood and Vine. Real good guys, man, Jeff and Scott. Jeff used to be the only white guy in the who would play with Prince.
Oh.
So he was like the...
Ooh,
he was
nice.
Like the,
that's yeah, a
so,
good name. That's a good thing to have yeah, on yeah, the
yeah,
resume.
He was like, yeah, he was like the only white guy. So very cool guy from Minneapolis. So, I go into the office. I meet him and, they're like, hey, okay, you look like Cosby. I still have my fro and... So I go in and I read the part and they look at me and I'm like, they're like, if you want the part, it's yours. And I'm like, okay, well, I got to think about this. This is porn. So I was like, how much you guys paying me? So they told me the price. I was like, nah. So they was like, how much do you want? I told them my price. They were like, nah. And I was like, okay, well, good luck, gentlemen.
Yeah.
They called me a couple of days later and they said, well, we can't give you what you want, but what about this? And I was like, that's great. So they gave me, you know, per day, it's porn, per day. I think we did like 8 days.
Okay.
And I would shoot like all my stuff in the morning, no sex, you know, no sex stuff.
Okay.
And then at night they would shoot all the sex stuff. So they would shoot all my stuff, all the acting. And it was a really well-written script. He wrote two of them.
Okay.
And it was actually the first time I never ad-libbed as Cosby.
Because, oh, okay.
Because the stuff was so good. Shout out to Jeff Mullen. He did a great job writing the script. There were two scripts. So we shot two of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a whole lot of acting in porn. So basically,
well,
he's
probably
just like,
sick of Hollywood bullshit. So he's like, these people will take my script. But they see how good I am.
No, but, I think he's doing some writing in Hollywood right now.
No, I believe it. Yeah, I'm saying,
I don't know if
like,
I should have said his real name. Oh, shit.
That's all right. Beep, beep. Yeah, nobody remembers.
Yeah. So we do it. They pay me more per day than I ever made in mainstream.
Okay.
They treated me great. I love people in porn. They were so fucking nice to me.
Sure.
Whatever I wanted to eat.
Everybody's getting laid.
Everybody's
who wouldn't be happy?
Yeah, everybody's happy. Everybody's fucking.
They're all busting a nut.
Right, yeah.
That's the only time to be happy, right?
Hollywood needs to fuck more.
Hollywood needs
to fuck more.
Listen, this is the wrong time to be pushing that.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's right. That's
no
weird.
Whining and stining.
We need to
baby, I'm not talking about whining you and dining you. I'm whining and stining you.
Yeah, see, they're doing it wrong in Hollywood. Yeah. They're not fucking freely. They're fucking creepily.
Exactly.
So that's where everything's...
Openly fuck. It's all in the open fucking. Everyone's happy. But, you know, even I say it all the time. I say the people in porn were so nice to me. You know, I was like, the people in mainstream were mean as shit to me.
Yeah.
And, I mean, literally, whatever I wanted to eat that day, that's what we ate. Thomas, what do you want to eat today?
Wow.
What do you guys want to eat? No, it's what do you want to eat? I'm like, wow. Can I keep doing nonsense?
Well,
you guys know I'm not really Bill Cosby, right?
I'm not really Bill.
You might have been the only one who negotiated your money.
Ever.
So they were like,
the rest of them are like,
real.
We'll give you 60 bucks
right.
And
like,
eight dudes
man.
Get to dump loads
right.
on you.
Yeah,
so and I'm like, what time do I have to be there?
60 bucks?
Is, I had a hand job scene.
Oh, okay.
I got a hand job from Miss Cosby. It was a fake hand job. She didn't really grab my junk, but they had us like under the cover, and she's like acting like she's giving me a hand job, but she's just hitting the top of the sheet.
Amazing.
And she punches me in the nuts twice
oh.
because she's pissed I didn't want to do a sex scene with her.
That is insulting.
And yeah, I mean, it's kind of, but you know.
You're
keeping it professional.
I mean, if I told them there were two females. I said, if you get one of these two females, I'll fuck. you get Cherokee Diaz or Naomi Banks, I'll fuck. I'll do it. And I say, would I make more money? They were like, no. I was like, well, I'll fuck it.
That is
like, but I was like, but if you get one of them, I'll do it. I was serious. I was like, if you get one of them two women, Cherokee Diaz or Naomi Banks, I will have sex.
Wow.
I have on to camera.
Yeah, look them up.
Yeah, look them up.
I don't know who they are.
What's the plot of the porn?
I think Denise is going off to school.
Oh, so it's a Cosby show.
Yeah, it's a Cosby
parody.
Show. Yeah, it's called Not the Cosbys, which is ironically the original name of Married with Children. Not the Cosby.
Not the Cosby.
That's the original name, the working title.
Oh, I feel like I've read that. Yeah.
Hilarious.
That's funny.
It is. So, yeah. So
they certainly were not the Cosbys.
They were not the Cosbys.
they went in a different direction.
They were the Kerrigans, kind of. that's hilarious.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
So Denise is
going off to school.
Okay.
And she's getting her bone on.
So everyone's fucking.
I think the
kids are getting fucked.
All the kids are fucking.
Got it.
All the kids are fucking. All the kids are fucking. Theo is
everybody's fucking the same
age as me. The guy playing Theo is my age.
Of course. Oh, my God.
He's my age. So, you know, they told me, like, you put a little weight on and, you know, look a little older. I mean, I did. I was like, I'm already fat right now.
Shut up.
So they put a little makeup on me, made me look older, whatever. But it was fun. And I actually did 6 non-sex roles in porn film.
Okay.
The last one I did was a remake. I don't know if you ever heard of Behind the Green Door.
Mm-mm.
It was the first interracial mainstream porn movie.
Okay.
And it featured the girl, the lady, Marilyn Chambers. She was the Stay Puft, fabric softener girl.
Oh.
And that was a big controversy. What made it blow up is because she already was like in mainstream
commercials.
She
was known for something.
Right. Oh. And then she did the...
she went to the dark side.
She went to the dark. Literally. It was,
she left a puffy.
Literally, yeah. She left the puff for a puffy. Exactly. And I met the original guy. His name was Johnny Keys. He was this little old black guy. And it was real fun. And guess what my part was?
What?
I did stand-up.
I love it.
I did stand-up at the fucking Eyes Wide Shut Club. It was a huge orgy scene.
Oh, okay.
And I had to do stand-up at an orgy scene.
Oh, my God. And that's
the way comedy was meant to be.
Yeah, and it was. I think it's Paul Williams. He's like one of the biggest directors in porn.
Okay.
Like old school. He did like all the big stuff back in the day. And so, like, okay, so the comedian's going to come up. He's going to do his routine. And they kept stopping me. I mean, the crowd would start laughing. They'll cut. I'm like, fuck. So, I mean, I would keep going. I'd start roasting
the
people.
Who wants to laugh during sex?
Well, it was a scene where, you know, the main character was at a club. So they're at a comedy club and she's meeting the guy she's going to fuck.
Oh, I see. I'm thinking they're all fucking and you're look at his. No.
Instead of a crowd, it's him.
Yeah.
That scene didn't fucking come up yet. It was later and I wasn't in it, but
I really saw it a different way.
Oh, yeah. It was some Caligula shit that day. Yeah. It was orgies and shit. I was just like, wow.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But they, you know, I did stand up and they kept stopping me. So I said, look, man, can I just get one joke off? Can I get one, just like a nut? Can I get off one? So he said, okay, go ahead. So I ripped through maybe a 2-minute bit. The crowd is going crazy. So he's like, okay.
Good for you. You got your bit.
Yeah, you got
your
bit. Yeah, that's how he treated me. Like, you got your thing. And it was funny. The next night, half the fucking crew and cast shows up to the Valley of the show that I'm doing. And my show is called The Big Ass Comedy Show because I'm in a porn thing now.
Ooh.
So I'm on stage with this girl. Her name is Brittany Blaze. She's got some huge tits. And she's
That's
got pasties over them.
Okay.
And at some point, you know, there's a lot of porn people in the audience. And I say, show me tits. So she flashes them. The bartender calls the owner. The owner shuts our show down.
Damn.
Because she showed her tits. I was like, I told you what the show was.
But she had covers.
She had covers, exactly. So
isn't that a thing?
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, I mean,
not in the Valley. I'm like, we in the Valley.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You get kicked out of a show in the Valley.
As soon as you cross Mulholland, you're allowed to
show tits.
Everything goes.
There are no, you know,
I should be
required.
Doing a show with my balls out. What the fuck? Just got a little pouch hanging, my balls just hanging out.
That's amazing. I can't. You know what my favorite thing?
We don't have the proper permits for that.
Right. You got to put those away.
The ball sack.
This isn't puppetry of the penis like Vegas yeah. said.
I'm just thinking of Ari Shaffir and what he got away with. Maybe it is a racist world.
Yeah.
The way they say Ari took his nuts out all the time.
There were complaints from people who'd be like, We don't have permits for that, so you got to be careful. And that's why the improv got mad at him and banned him.
That's right.
On
stage?
Yeah. Ari's nuts were always coming out. He would take
his
testicles and he would put them on either side of the mic stand, and then he would do a snail race up the Ari has an enormous sack.
Oh yeah. So I can never get away with that. I don't have a huge sack. My balls are regular. I just got
yours went to the part that's needed.
Yeah.
They work.
Yeah. And so Ari would do it here at like 1:30 in the morning as part of like a Don Barris show.
Oh. Right.
And no one would care because it'd be like 8 employees and 2 crowd members.
Who is responsible for spraying the fucking mic stand?
Poor Juan Carlos. Yeah.
Have saturated.
Exactly.
And then she would fly here, but when he took that show down to the improv, they were like,
we're not going.
It's 10:45 at the improv. This isn't.
We're a cookie cutter.
Is there a problem with me taking my balls off?
There's a piano on our stage.
Not a big deal.
This is a classy club.
Yeah, there's a fucking checker floor here.
I know you're Jewish, but you're just not acceptable. Yeah. My brother Billy always tells people that he's proud of me. He goes, it's my sister. She's been doing comedy. She's been living in L.A. for a while. He goes, you believe she didn't get in porn? I'm like, but I don't. That's not a compliment.
Can you believe it?
And I'm
with
like,
her
why
lack
would
of morals.
You believe it? Like, he tells everyone.
You see the ass of my sister? You can't believe she never did fucking porn?
What
the fuck
be
is wrong with this fucking girl? Never seen an ass like that on a white girl since Nina Hartley, goddammit. The fuck's going on here?
Great drop.
Nina Hartley makes me grab her ass when I see her.
Really?
She makes me grab her ass.
She says,
Thomas.
Do Cosby grab my ass?
No, she just takes my hands and put it on her ass. And I just hold it.
You're just, look at the smile.
It's a beautiful world.
I don't know how she's doing this, but I'm not going to stop her.
I'm never going
to
stop her.
But this
her.
Is why, because she came to Paulie's birthday like way back in like the 90s, and she was getting in the truck with her wife and her husband, and I was a doorman. I said, you know, Nina, I'm a big fan.
Right.
You know, can I just see the legend? So she gets into the truck, and she kind of lifts her dress up a little bit, lets me see like the bottom of her ass cheeks, and I'm like, there were no cell phones, no camera phones. I definitely would have took a picture.
That's just a memory of yours.
Yeah, exactly. But
nobody else.
Later on, you know, with the whole porn thing, I told her the story, and she was so cool that whenever she sees me now, she grabs my hands and makes me put them on her ass.
How many great Pauly parties were you a part of? Because I missed his last one, and I was like,
but he's older now.
Yeah, the 50th. Now they're handing out purple t-shirts. It ain't the same thing.
Or used to be packs of little white things before, but no more.
Dude,
the Chewy days.
Yeah.
The Chewy days.
I mean, we still have some that floating around, but the Pauly
Pauly's not part of it, yeah.
When I'm telling you, like, I'd be waiting to the House of Pain would come and play. One time I was watching Mickey Rourke nearly snort a table up.
Shit.
I'm like, bro, you gotta calm down.
That
it was
wild.
He would just, the parties were phenomenal.
When this place wasn't so corporate.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we call it the dead years.
Yeah, the what?
The dead years.
The dead years.
Like when it was kind of slow, you mean? Those, like nobody was here.
And it was just a party house.
Right,
we were basically Animal House.
Yeah, it was like Animal House.
Yeah.
And just whatever would happen would happen.
The glory days.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When it wasn't so corporate, when there were no cameras and.
Yeah, and now there's. Yeah. Fuck it. They lock doors. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
People have to live here.
and they have.
Exactly.
They have. Like comedy in a bunch of the rooms instead of like just
shows.
Empty areas for fucking.
No more. I got caught fucking here a couple months ago.
We heard. It's one of my favorite stories, by the way.
How does the story go?
Yeah,
is how the legend goes.
Yeah.
You know it better?
I don't know.
It's a legend.
Okay,
I don't know
so I don't know what manager or somebody was like, hey, what? Because you were with somebody, and I believe you were in the main room.
The main room.
Okay, in the ramp, like the main room, and they were like, what are you doing? He goes, it's okay, I'm a paid regular.
Perfect answer.
That's what I am for everything.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's my answer for everything here.
Yeah.
I'm paid regular. Don't worry about it.
No, it's cool. I'm a paid regular. It's like,
my picture and my name is on the wall. That's what I tell them all the time. My picture and my name is on the wall.
What did the manager or whomever it was say to you?
I don't remember. I think he like
He's like, okay.
I think, I don't remember. I just know I was doing something.
He starts running your name through a file. I'll see about that.
I don't know if he left and came. I don't know. I think he just walked in or something. I said, okay, wait a minute. I'll be finished in a minute.
Smart.
And he came back like, look, man, come on. I was like, okay. I'm almost finished. Okay, so.
Just give me one more minute. I'm a professional.
Could cause a medical issue.
You could have said I'm a professional. Yeah, because they can Google that too.
I'm a paid regular and I do this.
I have an Avian Award.
I know what I'm doing.
Don't worry about it. Go back.
Yeah, go on your merry little way of. But yeah, it was weird. Like, I remember one night, it was late. And we were drinking in the back, but like everybody just hanging kind of and stealing beers naturally. And then I went to, we used to put the drops in the original room, in the cover booth. We did it in the main room and the original room. But this night I was walking into the original room and it was closed. Everything was closed. And there was one little tiny light on in the OR. And I walked in and I'm hearing sex. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it was a manager and one of my waitresses on the stage in the OR, just going at it.
You have like, to. The OR is the only place I haven't.
That's the toughest place to.
Yeah, you can't
to go because there was a show there
in the morning. It was definitely that late.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember walking into the main room like maybe 11:30, and we were going to smoke pot, and there was two people fucking on the stage,
early.
And I just remember being like. It's not even midnight, and they're just fucking on the stage in the main room.
Guys, you got to wait till midnight. Come on. A little respect.
More importantly, now I'm going to have to go into the lobby to get high instead of the green room, because I'm not going to walk through sex to get high.
That's the best. But there was so many little holes. Like I've been telling this story about one of the comics, when they started locking the doors, he met a girl, like they do, and then he went to give her the tour.
Yeah.
And that's just how it works, right? Yep. There's Universal, right. And then there's the Comedy Store tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was giving
comedy
her a tour.
Comedy Store usually ends with dick.
Yeah.
Comedy Store tour.
Hey.
Damn.
So he was taking her, and he realized the doors were locked, and he came back, and he's holding her hand, this poor unsuspecting nice girl, and he goes, they're locking the doors now? And I was like, yes.
Yeah. it ain't so the golden angry. Years.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the fun time. That's why I'm impressed that
I'm
that
a paid regular is the
it.
Right answer, though.
Oh, yeah.
For anything.
I wouldn't have got caught if the girl wouldn't have been so fucking contrary. We just would have went in the women's room, like I said at first.
Old school.
Yeah. Never got caught.
Because nobody goes in the women's room.
Right. I mean, it was right there. I was like, she wants to be in the doorway.
Oh, here you go. Yeah. She wanted to show.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, look. Turn around. Okay.
So it was like a pride thing. It was like a pride. Yeah, yeah, I got it. I would have done the same.
I was like, see, you fucked
more
up.
Of a doorway girl.
Yeah, I was pissed.
Nothing wrong with that.
I was pissed.
Listen, your brother's listening to this.
She has control issues, you know.
Yes.
Like, you can fuck me, but you have to do it right here.
Yeah, because I want people to see that I'm...
And part of her was like, I'm going to do that because he probably won't just fuck me right here. And she didn't know that she was dealing with a champion.
Yeah, hey, I'll do it.
Paid regular. See, name's on the building, which means you can get away with it.
Maybe.
And again, professional.
Depending.
<That's>
I remember...
That's my passport here.
You remember,
everyone loves that story, by the way, because it has circulated. I'm a paid regular, and everyone loves it. Oh, no, it's cool. I'm a paid regular.
I'm a paid regular.
You can get away with a lot with that, though.
I always throw in since 97.
Since 97.
Paid regular since
97.
It's like my little fucking, what is that, the American Express?
Yeah.
The card members since 97. Yeah.
You're 20, one of the OGs,
21 years.
If you will. Exactly. That's an OG
I've been fucking
now.
Here for two decades.
Two decades.
So...
It took me about 4 years to get some pussy here, but I eventually did.
Well, you got it.
Now you... And it was steady after that.
Now you're on tour with... And you don't do the porn anymore,
right? No. Okay. They were all non-sex roles.
Right. Oh, you know what I mean.
Right.
Yeah, because Jason Washington did
clarify
that.
He went all the way.
Yes, he told us. Yeah, I think he even took his dick out during the interview.
Oh,
did he not?
I mean, Galern was polishing it.
Jason Galern was like,
how great is his dick?
Dude, his dick
I love
is just
pussy.
Huge.
I remember one of my buddies was like, Big Dick Jason. I said, you said that, not me. I'm not looking at him that closely.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm pretty cool, too. That's how they found out about me. I was banging a porn chick, but I'm not pulling it out. They asked me, so I was like, nah.
Was Galern in your class? Like, you said Freddie Soto.
Yep. I think Galern was
Spanky.
He was in my
Did
class.
Spanky get passed around the same time as you? Because he's a regular here
he
as
got,
well.
He
yeah.
got passed maybe about a few months after me. God, my class is like myself, Brent Ernst, Ahmed Ahmed.
Oh yeah,
Ari Shaffir, Serge, what's his name?
Sergio Love.
What happened to Sergio Love? Is he still around?
Good question. I know his family was from here, so or New York originally, but I thought his sister. So I don't know. I don't know where he is.
Shit. Yeah, England. Joe Diaz.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a great class.
Joe Diaz. You know,
Big Joe with the Cuban egg roll.
Right.
Joe will pull his dick out on stage.
Joe, yeah.
When
who's
I tell
the
people that.
Yeah.
The Cuban egg roll has been referenced at least a dozen times by
Cuban
people.
Cuban egg roll, I'm telling you. People are like, he really pulls it out. I mean, you got to turn your head, but still.
the way he would, like, he would do him coming in as a babysitter and his pants would fall down and he'd be like, I'm here. And his dick was out. And I was like, do you not? Not wear underwear? Like, ooh, how? That's gross.
Yes.
And pretty I would good. Always, every time it was like clockwork, I'd be putting a drink right in the front, just putting it down, and I'd hear Cuban egg roll, and I'm like, God damn it. Like, it's almost ridiculous. Hilarious. It was clockwork.
Good timing.
Like, I don't need your cute fucking plantain on my shoulder, man.
So I am on tour with Eddie.
Yes, yes. You've been touring a lot with Eddie. Right,
Eddie Griffin.
Yeah.
We just his individual shows, because he's still with the big tour with DL,
that's right,
and Cedric.
Do they have an opener? Guys. Do they let you?
No. George goes up and he does his thing.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, but okay. I think I went out 10 times last year with Eddie, and I just did. He started the Undeniable Tour.
Yes. His special was great. On Showtime.
On Showtime.
If you get a chance.
Right. Check it out on Showtime. Undeniable, Eddie Griffin, and we did the Orlando Hard Rock Live,
mm-hmm.
And then we'll be going back out on some more tour dates, and it's fun. I mean, my job is really tough because. Every night I come up to a cold audience. I don't have an opener.
Oh no, I know it.
Yeah,
it's a terrible thing. Yeah,
but that's what you do for Dice, right?
Yes,
cold audience.
Unless Wheels comes and then he does it, okay. Which is still it's not
right.
Hold on. Did you ever get clarification on how Wheels got 600,000 followers before they ever released a podcast?
I did not, but I'm going to say it was fabricated.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to go
ahead.
He did one podcast, and he said before he even filmed it, it was in a video, right?
Yeah, so my buddy sends me this video. He's like, dude, I still can't get enough of Wheels. And I'm like, what? He's like, just watch the video and listen to the things he claims. And it's like him, I think he starts, he's sitting in a car.
You know we love
car.
Wheels, but we talk shit all day. So go ahead.
It's like him sitting in a car. He's like, just so everyone knows, I'm at a new real estate company. They were great over at wherever, but you know, I got better opportunities for growth at this new place. And so I'm doing that. Also, got a podcast partner. And we're getting ready. We're gonna. We think
launch.
We know what we want to do. We're gonna launch the podcast.
I love the word launch.
We haven't recorded yet, but we know what we want to do with it now. We got 600,000 followers already. And I'm like,
not even a word was said.
No,
and he already has.
They haven't even figured out the format yet.
I love it.
But I started dying.
Wheels is such a hustler, man. That's
hustler or liar? You said liar wrong.
I say hustler. I'm gonna say hustler.
Hold on, you can be a hustler and a liar.
Yeah, hustler's the same.
Hustlers lie. That's how you hustle. You can be a hustler and tell.
He was a
make
hustler
till you make it.
Almost
he started it.
All of my stage time when I first started working here was because Wheels needed a ride to the gigs out in Riverside that he had booked. And he'd be like, so you drive me out there, you get 15 minutes, and they'll pay you a dinner. And I'd be like, that's a good deal. I'll take that.
Food,
not
and
dinner.
And Wheels is making probably a couple $100.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm bringing comics. So, give me their money, too. After he pulled that Continental 48 bullshit on me in Alaska, I was like,
really
this guy
this.
Is up to something. He brings me with him to Alaska, and I'm like, this is cool, going to Alaska, do comedy. And we did the shows, and then the manager of the club's this dude, I think his name is Wookie. And
naturally.
Wookie's like, yeah, it's cool, man. You fly up here, you know, we feed you, you get $500, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, sweet. And then
80 shows?
No, just three nights.
Oh, okay.
But, it's just, I was like, whatever, this is
Alaska,
cool.
Alaska, $500, I probably would do it.
And then Wheels hits me with the, it's a good gig. You get to go to Alaska, they feed you $200. I'm like,
two?
The guy told me $500. And then he's like, oh, you talked to Wookie. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh. And then he's like, you know what happened? I got you the money, but they were trying to, you know, pay in a check. And because it's from outside the Continental 48, there's a...
Continental 48 states this motherfucker like, brought up.
I wanted to go.
It would have sounded better if you would have said contiguous. I would have went for contiguous.
You would have
even
taken
hit me
it.
With contiguous out of bit. I said, you said contiguous.
Damn. Oh, okay.
That sounds legit.
The first Thank contiguous you. 48.
Okay. I was, and then I'm dying just like the thought of checks not working if they're from
the
American states.
Contiguous continental.
Well, you know, you got to go over Canada to the water, so there's a fee there, $300. So.
It's going to evaporate. Half the check
that's
is going to evaporate.
Man. Yes. That's what you call hustling.
That's hustling.
So wait, but you guys still do the Rio?
Yes.
Okay. That's
this is our last week.
Oh, you're kidding.
We are moving. This is our last week at
the
Rio.
Oh, because of the seller coming
well,
in
no,
or something
well,
different.
Well, I don't want to really go into
okay.
details.
Okay, sorry,
but
sorry.
Yeah. But, you know, he was hoping to stay, and I guess whatever, he worked out with him, and the seller didn't work out, so he's leaving. This is our last week there.
Okay. Well, he'll get another place.
No, we're already moving to the SLS.
Oh, that's great.
Right.
State I of, love those people, and I love that place.
There. I've never
it's
been
very
there.
Nice.
State and of they, the art.
We're trying to get a comedy regular thing going.
250
so it's
seater.
Good to have a big name like
yes.
you and Eddie in there.
Yes.
And
yeah,
that'll
well,
be great.
Well, Eddie, no one knows.
Well, I know what
I
you're saying, but you know what I mean. You're still part of the show.
I've lived the life of the opener
of
a long time.
That's one of my opening bits. Y'all tell, looking at me like y'all don't know who the fuck I am.
I tell people that they wouldn't know Dice if I wasn't there. I'm just kidding. Yeah, Wheels told me that.
Actually, Andrew, he's been lucky to headline for me for quite some time.
He lets me go on first, though.
Wheels, just go out there and do the Fabulous Six and get off.
The Fabulous Seven.
What do you think about?
Dice calls him the Fabulous. He goes, you have 7 minutes that's fabulous. Just do that. That's it. And it's
I don't even know what bits you're doing. What you're talking about because all my bits work. You know what bits I mean, Wheels.
Yep. So it's fun. I've been paying
taxes. No, that's
taxes.
Amazing. So...
I've been paying taxes from comedy for 3 years. This is really incredible.
Yeah.
You talk about someone who probably never made over $3,000 in comedy for 20 years.
Yeah.
But, you
I've
know,
been there.
Yeah. Yeah, trust me. It's you got to love this.
Yeah.
You got to really have a love for this.
It's a passion project unless you're one of the, you know, 1% of comedians that are fucking doing great.
Right.
I mean, and you just never know what the break's going to come from. Like, I was so happy to see Eddie had a special. You know what I mean? Like, he's just an old school comedy comedy store guy that I root for. You know what I mean?
And he does great every night. The crowds, they love him, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's nights when, you know, he may not be feeling well. He'll still go and give him 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen this guy perform with Rick. It's not Rick. It's fucking, what did you call it? The fucking shit. You had chicken pox.
Oh, shit.
Shingles.
Shingles.
Damn.
He had shingles for like a month performing.
Oh,
yeah. He's had throat surgery. He stopped smoking cigarettes.
He did?
Stopped smoking cigarettes
That's
over
amazing.
A year ago. That's why he looks so young and fucking on his special. Look how young he looks.
You know what? And I'm going to say, because he used to, you could see cigarettes on him. Yep. Always. You're right.
Yep.
He was one of
cigarettes
the, me
year.
Too. I know. I noticed in pictures you could see cigarettes on me. He's one of those people I say you could see on him because he was a chain smoker.
Right. He stopped like over a year ago.
Is he smoke weed?
Nah, he's not a weed
Good
smoker.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's not a big weed smoker.
Yeah, one time I saw...
But I am.
Yeah. No, most people are. I'm not either.
Well, one time I saw Eddie here.
By the power of Grayskull.
And he had this his kid. His kid was like 18 or 19.
Yeah, Junior.
This is a while ago.
Junior.
And,
Junior's not... He's way older than that.
Yeah, now, yeah.
He has a kid.
I was going to say, this is... I was a doorman at this point. So, his kid is here, and... This kid is like talking to some chick out front, just like nasty, skanky girl. And
perfect.
And he's like, oh no, he's going to fuck his life up. And we start, we all kind of start laughing. And he's like, go get him for me. And I'm like, what? And so he tells me to go get his kid and bring him back to the parking lot. And I'm like, all right. So I go back. I'm like, hey man, your dad wants to talk to you. And he looks at me just like, this cock blocking motherfucker.
Who's this motherfucker?
And he goes, what? And I tell him I'll be back there. He's like, no, he needs to talk to you now. And so he walks back there, and Eddie's just standing there calmly. He walks up and he throws his cigarette down. That's the only reason why I remember that he smoked was because the dramatic nature of how he threw the cigarette down. And then he just slaps his kid and he's like, you ain't fucking up. And he's like,
Damn.
Yeah, he's like an 18 or 19 year old or something. I just remember being like, oh fuck,
shit.
Old school rules.
But
here.
Right now, dude, that is they're like best friends. You would
no,
be
but
so
they were
lucky
back then. I mean,
to have your son as your best friend.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, I'm around those guys, you know. You know, after shows, we go, you know, hang out.
They
at
were tight
place.
Back then.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's a normal
a
progression
man.
Teen
yeah, and
years.
Junior is a very...
he was always
he's
the
very,
sweetest.
Very smart, you know, very progressive thinking. I mean, he's a great musician.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean,
Wasn't he an
amazing.
Artist? I thought he was a...
No, he does music. Oh, his cousin does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
and
that's
he's got some
we
real talented people
about.
In his family.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of really talented people in his family. So, I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's a family. We're real small. You know, but we're family. It is.
Yeah.
I'm working in Vegas. You know, we stick
look,
together real,
this
real well.
This business is lonely.
Yeah,
man.
It is. It is.
So when you
it
confide,
really is.
Look, I consider Dice's kids my family
right.
and Dice my family. Mm-hmm. So you're on the road. I mean, even as fucked up as Wheels is, we're like, oh, all right, whatever.
Did Dice's ex-wife ever get remarried with that big booty?
No, she did not get remarried. She's still shaking that booty
God,
around right
damn.
Now.
Damn. No disrespect, but I love
no disrespect,
Dice's
but I feel
ex-wife
you.
Ass.
How can anyone be disrespected
no disrespect
by that?
To you,
best looking white asses. My wife, my ex-wife?
Yeah, he loved her.
Who, Dice?
Yeah.
Dice loved my ex-wife?
Listen, he makes
look
me
who it
talk
is.
About
it's the
her.
Fucking legend himself.
What? For real?
Sam Tripoli.
Yes. Wait a minute.
Hold on a minute.
I got to hear this.
Wait, your
I
ex-wife.
I got to hear this.
Sam Tripoli just peeked in, so right, he was saying hi. But your ex-wife.
Wow.
Dice used to go nuts. She had this tiny waist
and
gigantic. And she would walk.
She had this
like
walk.
She knew all of it.
So, her natural walk.
And Andrew would make me walk like her. And I'm like, dude, I don't have what she had, you know? And then one night she came up here and you weren't here. And I was waiting tables and she was like, she's like, oh, I know her. And I guess the door guy was giving her a hard time because he didn't know who she was. And I go, oh, hey, how are you? And I said, hi. She goes, you see Thomas? And I'm like, no, he's not up here. I didn't, because in my head.
That must have been when I left.
Yeah, you left. And I literally was like, I haven't seen Thomas. But you know how you have to think about it? Because you're like, I was in the OR. I was in the main room.
Yeah, he might
so
be here.
I thought about it. And I went, oh, yeah, he ain't up here. And she goes, oh, you ain't seen Tim. And she was about to come at me. And I'm
wow.
like, oh, shit.
Sorry.
Okay. Some shit was going on.
Yeah.
So Andrew was there and witnessed it. And he's like, you have to tell everybody that. And I go, why would I tell everybody? But he would make me do the impression, oh, you ain't seen Tim.
Well,
like,
hey, I'm proud to know that me
he
and
he would have
Dice
switched with you.
I was
switching
him like a motherfucker.
Two
I wish I knew that. I'd
respect
be like, hey,
him.
Baby, look.
Listen.
For real. You want to fuck Dice?
That's the Dice.
I damn sure want to fuck his wife. What's happening? What's the deal?
Well, they're split up now.
All
so
right. I better not catch her slipping.
You.
I better not. What's her name? Trini?
No, you mean Valerie.
Valerie, is that her name?
Oh,
Valerie?
You mean the Mexican? Or?
No. I'm talking about the one.
The white one?
The white with the big booty.
Okay, Trini's still around.
That's her? That's her name?
Yeah.
That's her name. And my wife's name was Trina.
Okay, you guys.
Oh,
see.
That would have been an easy swap.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Name slippage
my
wouldn't have been a problem.
Still likes me, too.
Well, you tell her Dice is single.
Damn.
And Trini's single.
She is?
So
oh,
I could set
I don't
it
know,
up.
I don't
She's
know,
a
I don't
great
know.
Girl.
Oh, really?
You know?
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, we're still
God,
real
damn.
Close.
I live in Vegas.
I'm getting cold.
Ricky has to go do a spot, so
okay.
We're going to close it up. Thanks,
all right,
Rick.
Cool.
So anyway, do you have dates to plug? Let's now that we exchanged wives with Dice.
So crazy. I just got hit up on what's the shit Instagram by Interracial Swingers. I just got hit up.
Ooh.
They just followed me, so yeah, Dice, we gonna set something up.
Let's do it, man. Interracial Swingers.
But this is the thing. I thought you meant
his newest wife, Valerie.
The one with the
she had two. But okay. Valerie had two. Same
okay.
thing. That's
okay.
why
well,
I thought
well,
it was her.
The,
yeah.
The first one.
But Trini, yeah,
Trini,
she's
yeah.
built
yeah.
amazing.
Like
yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So, I'm opening Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for Eddie Griffin. This is our last week at the Rio. Then we'll be going over to the SLS probably
okay.
in a couple weeks. And you can check me out on the road with him on the Undeniable Tour. I think our next date is in South Carolina, May 12th, and then June the 2nd, somewhere else. I can't remember that far in advance. And
okay.
also my movie, Once Upon a
yes.
Time in Detroit. You can check it out on Amazon, starring Joe Blunt and Rodney Perry. two very, very funny, funny comedians.
Very
funny guys. But it's a drama.
Okay.
And we got a lot of really funny comedians that are doing a great acting job. I mean, so it's the whole movie's a drama.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so you get on Amazon, Walmart.com, and what's the other one? Best Buy.
Okay.
And the whole Vudu video, whatever video to pay the video. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
VUDU, some shit they sent me. VUDU. Okay.
VUDU, whatever.
Yeah, whatever fuck VUDU.com is, it's there. Maverick Films is the main carrier of the movie. Maverick Films.
Okay. Yes, so. Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So.
Well, I'm proud of you, man. I think you're terrific. And
thank you so much. Be nice to get more spots here at the Comedy Store when I'm here on weekends.
I know, but it's a million different people now. But it's just like, different.
Right, it's just changed hands.
Right. And, you know, it's like. Used to be you could call Mitzi and she'd be like, oh, you know. But now it's like a new
corporate person.
Yeah, I'm cool with fallouts. Great.
I'm just here to get, you know, a couple fallouts. But, you know, Mitzi told me before, she said, this is your home. Where have you been?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, Mitzi never really talked to me. She did weird shit like give me checks to take to La Jolla.
Sure, sure. Like, she would always make us run an errand.
Yeah, like here.
All your going. Take it with you. I'm like, what? You just filled my car up. I can't.
She would give it to me like a week before the show, and I got like
she would give me day of. Yeah. Oh, a week before.
And I'm scared.
That's terrible.
They're in my apartment. I'm scared. I'm like, oh, shit. I hope nobody breaks in and steals these payroll checks. Why did she give me these checks a week before I have to take them?
A week is crazy. Yeah, she would give me like maybe a day or two.
Payroll checks?
Yeah, payroll checks. I used to have to take all that shit down.
Wow.
Yeah, but I wasn't even doing a gig. I would just have to drive to La Jolla.
Right, right.
So
well, I had to do. I was doing a gig, but still,
yeah, at least you were doing stand up.
But still, it was like I got like $5,000 checks. I'm nervous, like, oh, I hope nobody breaks in my apartment. I live in a bad apartment.
I hope nobody would. Like, amazing. That's great. Anyway,
well, thanks for having me.
Well, I'm excited. Yeah, check him out if he's at the Real. Wherever you see his name, go see Thomas Ward. Seriously, very, very, very funny guy.
Thank you.
I'm excited. I'll be in Vegas April 2nd through the 8th at the Tropicana.
Sweet.
In Vegas. This might have already come. I mean, it might have already happened when this comes out, is what I'm saying. So
I shouldn't have plugged that date.
But man, I'm going to hit you guys
up. Check us out at SLS.
Yeah.
When this comes out.
Yeah.
Eddie Griffin Experience.
SLS is such a nice hotel.
I have to go.
It's such a cool spot.
I have to go. The people were great. We met the people who did it. They were great.
Everyone there is awesome. Seriously.
Shout out to
the workers
Candace
are
and
old school.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
So you're going to love it. I'm excited for you guys.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. Come see live comedy here at the store. Come check us out on the road. Thomas is giving peace signs like those cameras are working, and I don't know if they are, but I'm with you on that.
All right.
What I love is that you know where the cameras are.
Got to.
Can't take Detroit out of you, man. Same. Philly. I always see it.
Philly. My buddy's player from high school was Brandon Armstrong.
Oh, shit. Yep. Okay.
My buddy coached him in high school.
Oh, wow.
He made the play. I was like, yay, he made the play. Philly, what's up?
That's amazing. Yep. All right. Thank you guys so much. Don't forget to subscribe and rate. All right. Thanks. Bye.